you thankful for his presence in this place this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you for your goodness and your touch in this place, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what we feel in your house, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd bless this offering. I pray, Lord, you'd bless every faithful and cheerful giver, the one that is given by faith today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Worship in one accord.
Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. It's been a few weeks ago now, but one of the young people of this church had an opportunity to go a youth on missions, and I want to say thank you as pastor to all those that helped, all those that supported him and made it possible for him to go up on the trip. I know many of you had him over to your place to do a little work and pay him a little money so that he could go and be a part of the trip. But Mason Duell got to go to Austria, Youth on Missions with the Missouri District. And we're going to give him a few moments to just kind of tell of the events that happens. He's got some slideshow and just different things. We're just going to give him some opportunity to say thank you for one, and for two, to kind of give you a little taste of what he was able to experience on his trip. And so we're going to ask him to come at this time and let you in on what he was able to be a part of on Youth on Missions. Why don't you give him a hand?
Praise the Lord. I just want to say thank you very much for all the support and effort that was given into letting me do this trip. It was an amazing life experience. And actually, I have a video that I'd like to talk to you through. Start at the beginning. Where we visited was Austria, Vienna, and this is some of the sightseeing we did over here. It was a very beautiful place. This was the first day on our trip. During the plane ride, it was 10 hours. No sleep whatsoever. The church was right above a building where they sold cars, and it was very accessible throughout the entire time. We were able to many palaces as we were there, such as this cathedral, which is very popular there. We got to see where Beethoven lived and many other sightseeing. But one of the best places for us to see was the street evangelizing, which you will see in just a moment. But it was very exciting and new experiences, and to be able to and to experience what other people go through on a daily basis in a new country is just amazing. We did a lot of sightseeing. There is very big cathedrals, but this is the church we were at, the Church of Acts, and it seats on a Sunday about 200 to about 150 on average. We did lots of street evangelizing. One thing I will say, though, over there is you're not allowed to sing on the streets. No, hardly any street evangelizing. You can't hand out cards on the roads, underground. All of that's illegal. If you were to walk with the person to talk or stop them, you could be ticketed, if not put into prison for it. So a lot of it was hard to communicate with other people, and so we had to slide them into doors. And if you see later, there is places where we were into buildings, and we were able to pray with them, which a lot of them were scared for their life, because if another was to find out that they were praying with our group, they could actually have a bounty on their head. And so it's very hard for us to communicate with and reach out to these people. Let's see. As you've seen in some of these pictures already, here's Slovakia called Bratislava. The sad part about that is it's a nation of over 5 million people and not a single church. This is the main area where we would have loved to visit, but the only problem is there's no church, and so we weren't able to evangelize over there. In some of these pictures, you'll see us, we're on top of the castle, and we actually reached out and prayed for this entire nation, and hopefully we come to have a church over here, if not many more. This is some of the people in the apartment buildings that we were able to pray for. And it was a very life-changing moment to think, here I can pray whenever I want, however I feel like. Over here, you have to be scared for your life. Some of the little kids actually followed us around and helped interpret it for a lot of us, because not a whole lot of us really know Farsi, which is the language over there, and we were able to pray for many, which was a blessing. That Sunday morning, we were able to baptize 7 Muslims, and 8 of them received the Holy Ghost. So again, I would like to say thank you very much for this life-changing moment, and I encourage anyone and everyone to go on another. And that's it.
I've had the opportunity to be involved in numerous missions trips, and they are life-changing. They kind of get you out of your box. I'll let you know there's a great big world out there with great big needs and need a great big God. And so we thank you once again for your support helping Mason rather to go and be a part of that trip. Also, something else that happened here just a few days ago, I'll let him give you the details, but Thursday morning as my family was getting ready to go to camp, I was up early and received a text from Sister Christy that they had taken Brother Al to the emergency room with some stroke-like symptoms, and so I went up to the emergency room, and they did some more testing again on, they did some testing on Thursday, then again on Friday, and I want Brother Al to give you a testimony about what took place and the events surrounding the circumstances. Thank you to all those who reached out on Facebook. We let people know what was going on. I know many of you went to prayer, and so we thank you for that. And Brother Al, just want you to come and just take a few moments and tell the congregation what happened. And I'm thankful Brother Al is here this morning. Amen. Give God the glory, Brother Al.
I'm thankful Al's here this morning. I said last Sunday, we needed a manifestation of God. Ouch. He pointed his finger at me and said, you said it, I'll show you. Got to be careful what you pray for sometimes, but that's good. You never know what a week's going to bring into your life, any given week. Wednesday night, I'm in church. Everything's great. Praising the Lord. Got a couple more weeks of church before I go back to nights. I can enjoy it. Thursday morning, I wake up. I have my cup of coffee at kind of early, 4:15, because I woke up early, couldn't sleep. Went to pour coffee, and it's running down my beard. My right side of my face didn't seem to be awake. I thought, okay, I'm not awake yet. I have a second cup of coffee, same thing. Oh, it's got to be, I didn't put my teeth in, my partial. It's got to be that. So I went and put my teeth in. But I'm just not awake yet. It's okay. I'm going to go to work. I'll trust God with this. Got to the gas station. Went and bought my healthy gas station donut. Went to say thank you to the cashier, and I couldn't talk. Wow. I was slurring my words. I couldn't enunciate anything. My right arm was numb. I drove back home 1 mile. Christy was already up. I said, something's not right. I said, I don't know what happened, but I'm not myself. And I was kind of had brain fog. I figured, well, my coffee hadn't kicked in, but when your hand goes numb and your face doesn't work and you smile in the mirror and only one side of your face moves and the other side doesn't, you know something happened. So somewhere between Wednesday night and Thursday morning, I still didn't know, but I went to Copley. And Christy and I got in the parking lot, went to the emergency room, and we prayed in the car before we went in. Thank God for a wife that believes in prayer. We prayed, and we held hands, and we prayed, and we went in to Rush Copley. And I walked in. I'm still kind of thinking, what has happened? I'm too young. I'm too healthy. I'm too strong. I'm only 66. This can't be happening. I've been taking care of myself. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I'm skinny. Well, sort of. We go in. They start doing tests. They start saying, maybe you had a stroke. We're not sure yet. Maybe it's a TIB, a mini stroke. Maybe it's Bell palsy. We don't know. More tests. Next thing I know, I'm flying down Route 34 in an ambulance going to the big Rush Copley by the mall. Take me in there and do more testing all day long. EKGs. They test your heart. They give me a CAT scan. They do everything. That night, 9:30 at night, I'm still not sure what's going on. The doctor sees me. The nurses are taking great care of me. My family comes in to see me. I'm thinking, wow, I'm getting a lot of attention. But why am I here, Lord? I walked in. I think I had a stroke, but I'm not definite. 9:30 that night, I get an MRI, and I'm waiting to hear the results, and the lady that did the MRI says, we'll let you know in an hour or so. It was great. Then I'll know before I go to sleep where I stand. Well, it didn't happen. I asked the nurse. She says, no, she shouldn't have told you that. The doctor's got to look at it. They'll come in tomorrow and let you know when the doctor comes in. I said, okay, I'll pray about it tonight, I'm thinking. Friday morning comes. I wake up, and I'm still kind of like, I'm feeling okay, but I feel like I'm still in a fog. Like, is this really happening? Did this really happen? And if it wasn't for this doctor's report, I still wouldn't believe it happened. I don't feel like I had a stroke, but this tells me they said you had a stroke. And I've had numbers of strokes in the past from the MRI. Pastor prayed with me at the Rush Copley. He said I was stubborn. Imagine that. He said, I was stubborn. He's right. But stubbornness can be a good thing if you use it properly. Your determination to live for God, trust God, and believe God for whatever comes into your life in a course of a week. No matter what. Friday morning, here comes one nurse. Here comes another nurse. Here comes a speech therapist. Here comes the physical therapist. Here comes the doctor. Here comes two more nurses. They're all standing in my room, and my wife's there. It's like, wow, what's going on? I think they were in shock. I really do. I think they were all scratching their head but weren't willing to admit this guy had a stroke, and he's talking and joking with everybody on Friday morning. I was in shock. It's like, but I said all that to say this. The Spirit of God hath made me. The breath of the Almighty has given me life, Job said. I stand before you a miracle. Jeff Arnold died in a pulpit. Lee Stone King died. God brought him back. God didn't test my faith that much, but he tested my faith. Thank God, right? No matter where you are in your walk with God, God will not allow anything more to come into your life than he knows what you're able to withstand and endure, and that your faith will stand. Believe that. When I was walking out of there, the physical therapist, she says, okay, I got to test you before you leave. Let's go. I'm walking around. I'm like, let's go. I'm walking with her, and she's like looking at me like, why are you walking? Let's go. So we're walking around, and she says, do this. And she says, go over and sit in a chair. Okay. No, she says, no hands. I says, okay. She pulls another chair out, and she says, now go sit in that one. I says, okay. And she's looking at me, and she starts asking me questions. Tell me what's in the sky. I says, the birds, the plane, the moon, the stars, God, everything that's been made up there. And she's still testing me, like she doesn't believe that I'm walking around talking, functioning the way I was after I had had a stroke. I made the nurses a challenge at the end, and I said, do you agree that I was given a miracle from God? Before I left, I asked them that. I had about four nurses and a doctor have to agree, you got a miracle. Praise God. God can do whatever he wants to do. I even got to witness and give my testimony to the chaplain of the hospital. He came into my room before all of them came in and prayed with me. And he says, and I'm thinking, he doesn't know I'm living for God. And he asked me, what made you come to God? He didn't know I came to God. He didn't know that unless one of the nurses sensed something. I don't know, maybe something I'd said. But we prayed and we talked. And he told me a little bit about himself, and I gave him my testimony. He's like, you never know where you're going to find yourself on a Thursday morning. I never thought I was going to be asking my pastor to pray for me on a Thursday morning, but yet you're walking out of the church on a Friday morning, 28 hours later, after a stroke that God allowed, but God healed me. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. One more time, can we applaud the Lord for his goodness? Hallelujah. If you would stand to your feet and grab your Bibles as you're doing so. For the record, I did not call Brother Al stubborn. I did ask him a question, though. I said, Brother Al, you're going to let them do everything they need to do, right? He looked at me and said, why are you asking me that? I said, well, because I know you. From that, we concluded that there's a streak of stubbornness there. And then, within 3 minutes, the nurse comes in and starts talking about stuff. And I quote, Brother Al looks at the nurse and says, I don't want any antibiotics. but I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we can joke and that we can laugh and that he is here this morning and he is a walking miracle. There are numerous people that experience a stroke of that magnitude and never walk again, never talk again. And he looked at him this morning. He said, well, I feel better this morning than I did before the stroke. God is good. Exodus chapter number 13, one verse of scripture, verse number 3, and then we'll skip ahead to Exodus chapter 19. I realize we have taken a little bit longer than normal, but I don't apologize for that. I ask that you would give me your attention here for the next few moments. I will not be long in my remarks, but I do wish to convey what I believe the Lord has placed upon my heart. Exodus chapter number 13, beginning in verse number 3, and then we'll move ahead to Exodus chapter 19. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt and out of the house of bondage, for by the strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Skip down to chapter 19, verses 3 through 6. Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. In Exodus 13, Moses looks at the people and says, You need to remember this day. Mark it. Understand that this day is special. How that God had delivered you out of the house of bondage. For by the strength of hand, the Lord brought you out from this place. Everybody say, brought out. The Lord brought you out from Egypt, Moses said. And the Lord, in conversation with Moses in Exodus 19, says, This is what you go tell the people. You've seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. I want to preach to you upon this subject. Brought out to be brought in. Brought out to be brought in. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, your grace, God, your love. We thank you for the testimonies this morning, God, of your work and the hearts and lives of young people, God, and elders of this church. God, we thank you for your miracle-working power, God, a testimony of your provision, your healing touch. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you believing and trusting in your power. Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word, that we would be challenged, God, once again by your spirit. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do, in your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. If you clap your hands, you may be seated. Brought out to be brought in. One of the great stories in all the Bible is that of the deliverance of the children of Egypt. Or children of Israel, rather, from Egyptian bondage. The story has been told and retold in books, commentaries, even movies, documentaries, even animations. From dwelling in the land of Goshen as shepherds during the time of Joseph, the children of Israel becoming suppressed slaves working under the strong hand of the Egyptian empire, to the birth of a baby who's placed in a basket, floated upon the Nile, who was then adopted by an Egyptian princess and named Moses. This baby then grows to be a man, the Bible says, mighty in word and deed, in the empire that enslaves his people. Then to Moses taking matters into his own hands, murdering an Egyptian taskmaster, and then escaping Egypt at the age of 40 in fear of his own life. Spending another 40 years in the desert before he is spoken to from a burning bush and told to go unto Pharaoh and address him and tell Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. Then many of us know the story that the plagues that befall Egypt that frustrate Pharaoh and defy the gods of Egypt, eventually causing Pharaoh to let the people of Israel, somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 million strong, leave the land of their bondage. The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, the crossing of the Red Sea as the water parted, and then to the collapse of the walls of water, to the drowning of the would-be captors coming to take them back to Egypt. Moses tells the people to do things that will be a remembrance of how God brought them out with a mighty hand. Moses says, you gotta remember this day. Don't forget what God has done for you. Don't neglect to remember where God has brought you from. Remember how God brought you out. Don't forget about your deliverance. Might I say this? It doesn't matter how many years ago it happened for you or how soon it may have happened for me. It really doesn't matter the time span. What matters is, do we still remember where God brought us from? Do we still remember the deliverance from our
bondage? Do we still remember what it was like to be free from sin when we came and laid it at an altar, when God filled us with the power of His presence, when He, as the old song says, brought me out of the miry clay? We should never reach a place in our walk in relationship where we neglect to remember what God did for us. You don't know like I know what He's done for me. You don't know what He's done and how He's brought me out and how He delivered me. If we had time and gave opportunity, there are many who could stand up this morning and tell about how God delivered you from addiction, how God delivered you from substance abuse, how God delivered you maybe from an abusive relationship, how God intervened in your situation and worked something out for your deliverance. We talk about being brought out. When the word mentions being brought out, we understand it's talking about deliverance. And we need to be reminded again and again that God brought us out, that He delivered us, that the hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. I've been delivered. He brought me out with a mighty hand. He did a wonderful work in my life. He was able. I know there are some who sit under the sound of my voice that you were able to lay something on the altar, walk away from it, and never again have the urge or the temptation. We serve that kind of God. He is able to take. He is able to deliver us out. Sometimes when the going gets tough, and sometimes when we're frustrated, and sometimes when we'd rather grumble and complain, I would that we would remember back to when God brought us out. I would that we would take a moment and reflect and remember just how merciful God was, how full of grace He is and was in my life. The Bible says that we are overcomers by the blood and by the word of our testimony. Many of us from many different walks of life, some raised in this, some came from the outside, others introduced at an early age, others introduced older in life. But can I say this? We all need to remember that it was God who brought us out. It was His power. It was His ability that helped us come out from among them. We need to understand that God doesn't just bring us out of a life of sinful bondage. God also brings us out of bad situations. God also delivers us out of bad health and disease. God also delivers us sometimes out of bad environments and bad relationships. God delivers us out. God makes a way of escape. God is able to deliver us. I know He delivered us from sin and brought us out of bondage, but He's also, even as we live today, maybe bringing us out of situations and bringing us out of circumstances. He's delivering us by His mighty power. God is still in the bringing out business. He still brings people out. Then I began to think of this. While God brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand, it was the wilderness that really got Egypt out of them. Stay with me for a moment. God did not intend, we understand by His word, God did not intend for them to wander in the wilderness. The Bible says it was because of their unbelief that they could not go in. So long had they been engraved, if you will, by the habits and culture of Egypt that often in their grumbling and complaining, they would refer back to the life they lived in bondage with some affinity, with some love, if you will, for what they used to partake of and what they used to have. And when they had the manna, they would look back and say, oh, that we could have leeks and onions again. And I began to think of myself, and I thought of others. Woe unto me if I ever look back on that life and I ever look back to where God brought me from, and I find some fondness for what I used to be. I need to understand that He brought me out of that, and even now He's bringing more of Egypt out of me as I'm growing and maturing in the things of God. Sometimes it is frustrating, and sometimes it is seems like I'm in a dry place, and sometimes it seems like I'm not making much ground or doing much, but I need to be reminded that while God brought me out of Egypt, now the trial and the testing is causing Egypt to come out of me. God, help us not to look back to our bondage with any affinity for it. I mean this not even in the sense of sin, but sometimes in the sense of bad environments and sometimes in the sense of bad relationships. And I have had others talk to me about situations, and they say, well, I know that group I hung out with, and I know those friends that I had weren't really good people, but it at least I had a lot of friends. And I began to think to myself, be careful that you look back on that with fondness. Be careful you don't find any affinity for that. You may look back and try to find some good things, but you need to understand that if you do so, you are playing into the enemy's hands. I look back on the things that I had and God brought me out of, and I try to find some good things. Talk to individuals where God brought them out of bad relationships, and they say, well, Pastor, at least I had someone to love. And I thought to myself, wait a second, be very careful. Careful what you're doing. God brought you out of that relationship for a reason. Don't look back with fondness. Don't look back and try to find the good things, to try to find some solace in your soul. You need to be reminded God brought you out for a reason. Don't fall prey to looking back to the past with any kind of fondness for it. You need to be reminded that making it to the land that flows with milk and honey, it doesn't bypass the wilderness. There will be a time of testing. There will be a time of struggle. There will be a time when I, in my humanity, much like the children of Israel, I grumble and complain, and I do look back with some level of fondness. But I, oh God, when that happens, help me to remember that you brought me out, and you didn't just bring me out so that I could be brought out. Catch this. You brought me out to bring me in. You brought me out because you've got a greater destiny for me. You brought me out because something is going to happen that far exceeds anything that did happen. You brought me out because what awaits me in my future will far exceed anything that I was involved in my past. Lord, you brought me out to bring me in. Lord looked at Moses and said, Moses, when you get the ear of the people, this is what you need to tell them. I brought you out on eagle's wings. I brought you out with a mighty hand, but you need to understand this. I brought you out of Egypt to bring you unto myself. I didn't bring you out of Egypt just to get you rid of slavery. I brought you out of Egypt so you could learn to serve me. Brought you out to bring you in. He brought you out of that situation. He brought you out of those circumstances, not for you to look back with fondness, and not for you to find some affinity in what used to be, but for you to look ahead to what God has in store and say, I know he brought me out because he's bringing me in, because there's something extra special he's got for me. No mistake. God does not intend for you to die in the wilderness. He has plans for you. He brought you out because you can't be what he wants you to be by staying where you were. I'll say that again. He brought you out because you can't be what he wants you to be by staying where you were. He delivered you because a greater destiny awaits. Listen to what he says. Listen to the words that he has. That he says, Moses, this is what you tell the people. Now therefore, verse 5, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. began to think about that. Moses, you're going back to talk to a bunch of former slaves. You're going back to talk to a bunch of people that the life they knew was stomping mud bricks for their Egyptian captors. You're going back to talk to the people who I have delivered out with a mighty hand, but you're going to tell them something specific. You're going to tell them if they'll keep the covenant, if they'll serve me. Go, this is what you tell them. I'm going to make unto them a peculiar treasure. Catch this. These are the people who are seeing the might and the splendor, who have witnessed for much of their lives, has witnessed the might and splendor of one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful nation in all the world at that time. Talk about treasure. Egypt had treasure. Talk about being peculiar above all other nations. Egypt was peculiar above all other nations. World renowned for its might and its splendor. And the Lord says this, I'm going to make you a peculiar treasure. I'm going to make you a kingdom of priests. We need to understand, Levitical law wasn't yet instituted. They didn't know anything about priests and high priests. They didn't know anything about sacrificial law. Levitical priesthood isn't yet established. Their only reference to what a priest is the culture they came out of. Think about this. Their only understanding of what it means to be a priest is their exposure to the Egyptian Empire. Their only understanding of what it means to be a priest is what they saw when they witnessed those men who were some of the most powerful men in all the world as priests of Egypt. Do a little study sometime as to where the priests of Egypt were in the societal status. Where they, the places they held in the status of society, they were the elite. You didn't get in the priesthood of an Egyptian empire by being just somebody. You had to have some type of right and prestige. You had to have some type of lineage. You had to have some type of royalty, if you will. Not anybody made it to the priesthood in the Egyptian empire. The Lord says, Moses, this is what you tell them. I'm going to make them a peculiar treasure. I'm going to make them a whole kingdom of priests. Now, I know it's hard for us to fathom because we weren't walking in their shoes. But if you can but a moment think of what it would be like to have been a slave under someone else's rule for much of your life, and then all of a sudden this man is standing before you and telling you, this is the word of the Lord, the one who has brought you out of Egypt, where you've witnessed his mighty hand at work, where you saw the walls of the Red Sea collapse on your would-be captors, where you witnessed his mighty provision for you. This same one is now telling you, you're going to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. I wonder if they didn't look at each other in disbelief. Us? This ragtag? Ragamuffins? Us? We're going to be royalty. We're going to be a holy nation. We're going to be a kingdom of priests. We're going to be a peculiar treasure above all the nations of the world. How can it be? And I believe it was the very image that they could not get over of themselves, as still seeing themselves as servants and slaves in Egypt, that God could not get them to see beyond where they were, and they were always looking back to Egypt. You need to understand, God brought you out so that he can bring you in. He brought you out of a world of darkness to bring you into a world of light. He brought you out of what used to be so that he can bring you into what is going to be. His destiny for me what he has for me is going to far exceed. And sometimes here's what happens. We, like the children of Israel, we look around and say, who, me? You mean I'm going to be something special? You mean you have special plans for me? Oh, yes, we need to realize he has special plans for each and every one of us. He brought us out to bring us in, to make us peculiar. God brought them out to bring them into a better existence than anything they had witnessed in Egypt. Think about it for a moment. These people, as they looked at one another and they wondered, could these words really be true? Could this same God who brought us out with a mighty hand out of Egypt, could this same God make us a holy nation, a peculiar people? Might I remind you the words of the Apostle Peter, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He brought you out to bring you in. He didn't bring you out to leave you wondering in the wilderness. He didn't bring you out to leave you wondering as to what's going to happen. He brought you out to bring you in into something special. He brought you out to bring you into something spectacular. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Somewhere along the line, I've got to believe he brought me out to bring me in. He brought me out of a situation because he's bringing me into a much better situation. He brought me out of these circumstances because he's bringing me into better circumstances. He's opened this door in my life because the new dimension and the new area, the new level that he has for me is going to far exceed any level I was at before. He is that kind of God. He brings you out to bring you in. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I've witnessed such in my own life. I thought, well, things would be this way, or things would always, revolve around this, and I would always be here. This would always work this way. And then God has a way of bringing you out and saying, no, I've got something special for you. Maybe, just maybe, the situation isn't all that horrible. Maybe what God has for me far exceeds where I'm at. So I've got to allow God to bring me out. I've got to allow God to do what he wants to do in my life because he has something special planned for me. He brings you out to bring you in. And what I find in the place where God brings me to, I realize that they could not go in, the Bible said, because of their unbelief. That many of them perished in the wilderness, but we need to realize that was not God's will. It's not his will that any should perish. It's not his will. God brings you out because he's developing you, because he's doing something in your life. Look at it. Look in even Moses in his own life. He was mighty in word and deed, the Bible said, when he was in the Egyptian Empire. 40 years of age, he was considered a prince. The Lord had to bring him out. For 40 years, it's the land of Midian. For 40 years, he's kicking around a bunch of sheep for his father-in-law. I have to wonder, if he'd look back and think to himself, I wonder why. Why did I have to go through all this? Why am I out here in the desert? Contemporaries and friends of mine are back
enjoying the pleasures of the palace. God, let Moses know and understand, I bring you out to bring you in. And Moses is considered by many to be one of the greatest men that ever lived. Because when God brought him out of Egypt, though he was in, the Bible says, mighty in word and deed, Moses would not have been brought out. I dare say, we would not be speaking about him this morning. God brought Moses into a greater dimension. God brought Moses into a place where the Bible says the Lord spoke with him face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. What shall I say of Paul? By his own admission, to his experience on the road to Damascus, said, I went and retired in the wilderness space of 3 years. See, God didn't just bring him out of traditional living. God just didn't bring him out of zeal for law, the things that he had grown up with and the teaching that he had sat under of Gamaliel. He didn't just bring him out to get him out of that life. But he brought him out to bring him in to be an apostle to the Gentiles, to write the majority of the New Testament. God brought him out to bring him in. And now all over this world, people are opening their Bibles today and they will read the words of the Apostle Paul. God brought him out to bring him in. If you're here this morning and you're wondering, God's working this way, why God's doing this to me, why am I dealing with this, why am I going through this, maybe he's bringing you out to bring you in. All over this house, can we lift our hands? These altars are open. There's a new dimension, there's a new level he brings out to bring in. He said, tell them, Moses, I brought you out on eagle's wings, but I brought you out to bring you unto myself. I didn't bring you out just to get you out of Egypt, but I brought you out to bring you all the way to the promised land. I didn't bring you out just to get rid of slavery. I brought you out to bring you in to a life and relationship with me.
My past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. What a moment you have brought me to such a freedom. I have found in you, you're the healer who makes all things new. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going back, I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you.
Why don't you allow God to use you?
Is over in you.
Why don't you find somebody to pray with?
All things are made new. Surrender my life.
Hey brother, hey sister, God's brought you out to bring you into something great.
Moving forward. Such a freedom I have found in you. You're the healer who makes all things new. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going back, I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over in. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. 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 I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. Second chance, hallelujah, hallelujah, yeah, 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 yeah. I'm not going back, I'm moving ahead, I'm here to declare to you, my past is all things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward.
Hallelujah.
You make all things new. Yes, you.
Promises, power, provision. So many things that God brings us into in this life. We're willing to come out. We're willing to be brought out. God brings us into things that are special. But ultimately one day, He's going to look at me. My prayer is He's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord." Whatever I have to experience, whatever trial I have to go through, whatever wind wandering in the wilderness has to take place for me to ultimately be brought in, it's going to be worth it all. Some beautiful, yes. Happy day.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. One more time. Can we lift our hands? Can we lift our voice? Can we applaud the Lord? You brought me out, God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Moses, tell them, I brought you out of Egypt on eagle's wings to bring you unto myself. And every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Brings me out of this and he brings me out of that, but he doesn't just leave me there. He brings me in to greater commitment, relationship, and consecration with him. And I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. Hallelujah. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. I want to remind you there is no revival by design tonight. There's a department head meeting for those that are a part of departments. Next week, next Sunday night, we'll pick up with Revival by Design. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord this morning.